He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday edition. It's the August 10th CPI edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. He'll be weighing in a bit on those CPI numbers. Well, the market is definitely weighing in on what they thought about them. The Dow is up 432 points right now, 35,556. Take that, Mike Wilson and Marco Kalanovich and all you other perma bears out there. The NASDAQ is up 218, 13,940. It's up 1.6%. The S&P is up 56 points to 4524. That's a 1.3% move. I'm guessing that the market liked the CPI report this morning. Crude oil. There's something that's down. Of course, we want it down. It's down 60 cents to 83.80. Gold is up $4 to 1954. Silver's up 19 cents to 22.92. And the all-important bond market, how is it reacting to today's CPI report? Well, it's pretty steady. It's down about 2 basis points right now to 3.98. And the risk-on asset of Bitcoin, which has been in rally mode recently, is down 235 right now to 29,674. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm with clients all across America. And I'm the guy that manages, along with Barry's help, five portfolios from very conservative bond portfolio to very aggressive emerging growth. Most our folks are in the premier growth and the dividend and growth and the ultra growth. Those are our three main portfolios that we manage. Well, okay, we had a sell-off yesterday, but you can't make much of that. It was the day before the CPI. Oil prices continue to climb. We had a good day in the energy stocks yesterday. The chip stocks were weak yesterday, very weak, in fact. And I think it has a lot to do with China. China, in fact, is making some last-minute buys here before they get cut off from some of these high-tech chips. We'll talk about that in a bit. But we begin with the CPI report, and we'll let Barry weigh in on those numbers and where some of the details of those numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, overall it was a pretty tame report in terms of, numbers came in as expected. I think even the 12-month number, primary or core number came in even one-tenth under expected. Everything else pretty much came in as is. I think really, probably what's different in moving the market is even the weekly jobs, initial jobless claims today, which came in 21,000 more than 18,000 more than expected, actually. And so combination of that, right? An expected CPI report and then a jobless weekly jobless claims number. You've got the Fed. I think the bet is now, but basically a 12% chance of a 25 basis point rise at the next meeting, and then 20% chance of one in November. So almost a skip scenario, at least when you're looking at the odds there.
Yeah, just what we want. People losing their jobs, right?
Right.
And a softening economy. That's just what we want. But you know what? I mean, that's what the Fed wants, and that's what the Fed's rate hikes were designed to do and to cool off inflation. And it appears that it has worked. because we're now in the threes, aren't we? What's the annualized CPI rate right now? Isn't it 3.9 or 3.8, something like that?
Yeah, throw 3.2, all items, 3.2 year over year. Of course, the core number that excludes food and energy is actually 4.7. The biggest biggest component there has been just, of course, the rise in shelter. Transportation services even, but shelter is really the one that's been the stickiest there. I think 7.7% year over year versus, you know, like you said, the annual number of 3.2 on the all items.
Yeah, and here's ING, which is throwing a little bit of water on it all, saying there's been progress made on inflation to the downside, but the burning issue for bonds is whether the inflation threat has actually been dealt a death blow. Based on the market expectations for inflation, it hasn't. Well, how can you say that? You're clear down at 3.2% when you were expecting 3.3. That's not that far from the 2% that, you know, is their target. Yes, the core is still at 4.7, and there is a rising energy cost right now. That's a little bit troublesome, but I think they've made some pretty significant progress on the inflation front, and I would be very, very surprised if they were to hike interest rates at the next meeting. And I think also this big softness in China, they got to take that into account too, and the global economy.
Well, and the U.S. downgrade, U.S. downgrade, then of course Moody's downgrading some of the banks a couple of days ago. And then, you know, when you look at energy prices, right, one of the biggest differences, the reason why that all items of 3.2 number is you know, basically energy, right? I mean, you look at the gasoline number down 20% year over year, even though I know, you know, when I've gone to the pump recently, right, which in the summertime, your gas does always, you know, goes up just because the refining cost for summer, you know, gasoline, you know, mixture here in the South. But besides that, I mean, I think, you know, that's the piece of, if you have rising, we've seen rising oil prices, right? And, you know, that's going to, that'll take away one of the biggest savings, right, that we've had in terms of CPI. So.
And it seems that Saudi Arabia is not going to let oil prices fall too much before they take action.
Well, they got a lot of new soccer stars to pay for, so.
Yes. Okay, now the other big story, and it's, I would say that Disney would not be up right now. In fact, it was down in the pre-market. And then the big news, the market news. So, you know, anybody buying into the indexes today is getting a big chunk of Disney, and that's driving Disney up. But if you separate Disney out, that was not a very good report by Disney. Their subscriptions, they have really leveled off.
Well, and it really shows the headwinds that business has too, right? I mean, in terms of just, you know, cord cutting and trying to make that switch, right, from, you know, cable to online subscriptions. They lost, you know, without paying for content, that's one of their biggest subscriber losses was in India, because they decided not to to renew the cricket license there. And so, you know, it takes a lot of money to even come close to making money, I feel like, in that business. Just ask Netflix. I mean, they're the kings at it, and it's still not easy.
No, it's still not easy. And then the rest of their business, you know, they beat by 6 cents, but their revenue missed by $200 million. I was looking at the yearly graph of their subscribers to their different ESPN, Disney Plus, Hulu. It has really flattened out. Disney is another company. Well, look, their earnings are down 6% year over year, and their sales are up a measly 4%, despite the astronomical prices they charge at their theme parks.
Yeah, prices went up more than 4%.
Yes, not a very good a quarter for Disney. Their streaming subscribers fall short of forecast.
Yeah, they've got to decide what they're going to do with Hulu, if they're going to buy out that stake or not. Who knows? They may spin off ESPN at some point. There's a lot of different company's in flux. I mean, they let go of a lot of, you know, ESPN talent. They announced, you know, like a month or so ago, in terms of, you know, cutting and cost cutting. So It was, and if it is going to succeed, right, it will be a turnaround story, and that was what we were kind of, you know, invested in initially, but it was too many other opportunities in the market to stick with that name. So.
And, you know, I just think, I still say that, you know, their whole business was built around what it started with, the animation, the movies, the cartoons, the blockbuster movies, a couple a year, and then all of the princesses that came from it, and the dolls, and the rides at Disneyland, and the clothes, and everything. I mean, it seems to me like they've totally
lost. Star Wars,
lost.
Yeah, they own Star Wars now, Focus, you know. Yeah.
Now they're getting into gambling. Well, okay, diversification. All right, we'll be right back, and we got a lot to talk about. China, every day, China. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. With the market blasting off, the Dow up 401, NASDAQ up 193, S&P up 51, even Disney's up. Here's my valuation on Disney, okay? And I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, which I'm not going to give to them anymore. Incredibly, if you look at Refinitiv Icon at the 5-year growth rate that is expected over the next 5 years from Disney, this is the consensus. There's got to be a lot of analysts. They got 20%. There's no way. There is no way that Disney is going to grow by 20% per year over the next 5 years. I mean, look at their last four quarters. Now, that's earnings growth. Their last four quarters have all been negative. Their last 5 years have been negative, minus 17% per year. They are not going to grow by 20% per year. Yet, you know, when I feed the data in from the Icon Refinitiv, that's the number. I have to overwrite the growth numbers with my own numbers. And I've been giving them the benefit of the doubt of maybe like 11 or 12. That ain't going to happen. You know, they'd be lucky, 8 to 10%, they'd be lucky. Okay, at that level, you're looking at about a 60% upside potential over the next 5 years, and that is generous.
Okay? Well, their level of execution risk, right, is significant.
Absolutely. They have a lot more competition, you know, at what they do than they used to. They've priced things so high that a lot of families can't afford to go there anymore, and a lot of families won't go there anymore because of some of the issues, you know, that have infamous issues that, of course, Governor DeSantis has certainly made public. So anyways, you know what? I thought maybe a turnaround, but I could see it wasn't taking place. I could see they were going to continue to go down the same road that has taken this stock from 203 to 89. Okay, I'm done with Disney. I won't rip them anymore, but that's not a very good report, and the future does not look very bright. I would say the two biggest disappointing companies this quarter, Apple and Disney. They seem to have both gone down into that single-digit dividend pay. They'll start showing up on Seeking Alpha as, buy it. How can you pass up this dividend yield? You know, that's where they'll start showing up. But as far as growth stories, wow, it's just they've lost their way. Okay, let's take a look at China. China is trying to do, now they're allowing their citizens to go visit other countries. China had a ban on group tours to the United States,
right.
Australia, South Korea, Japan. They're trying to stoke, so that's just killed their airline industry. The Ministry of Culture and Tourism in China. That's just what we need, another ministry looking after something. Expanded its list of countries approved for group tours by 80 destinations, and they're trying to stoke their economy, but you know, it seems like on the one hand they do something, and then on the other hand they do something else that totally offsets any gains that would be made. Biden issues order. He did an executive order yesterday restricting certain U.S. tech investments in China. So we've been hearing that the atmosphere between us and China has been thawing a little bit. That doesn't sound like it to me. Three areas, semiconductors mostly, information technology, and artificial intelligence. And that's one of the reasons why you saw a sell-off in NVIDIA. Not a big one, but a sell-off in NVIDIA and AMD yesterday. They're rebounding a little bit here today. You also had a big player in AI yesterday that reported earnings, SMCI. They're a big user of NVIDIA chips in their in their servers. And that stock has been one of the hottest stocks in the market this year, SMCI, Super Microcomputer. Maybe they can make a movie about that, Super Microcomputer to the Rescue. That stock is up 4.7% today, but it was down 22% yesterday, and I think it kind of – they had blowout earnings, okay? Their earnings were up 34%. Their sales were up 34%. This is a major player, Super Microcomputer. $14 billion company, and it kind of carried the AI sector down yesterday with it. Not that they had bad earnings, but instead of being hyper growth, it was just extreme growth, and the market wanted hyper growth. And there's a lot of fluff in this stock, but yet it only has a PE ratio of 23. So. Anyways, that's one to keep your eye on, SMCI, Super Microcomputer, which is a player in the server business of this AI revolution. Okay, Bank of America favors stocks to bonds. Well, that's good. I agree with that right now. I continue to agree with that since the beginning of the year. They prefer financials, energy, and materials. So I'm on board with the financials and the energy. The materials is a little questionable because that comes down to, you know, that's copper, steel, things like that, iron ore pellets, etc. That comes down to China really coming out of their funk. And so far we're not seeing any signs of that. Now, Novo Nordisk has reported earnings, and they've raised guidance on their Wegovy drug.
Yeah, you just got to figure out a way to make enough of it, right?
Yeah, I think it's kind of by the rumor, which, you know, the rumor, the biggest news for Novo, the stock is down 1% today. So I think a lot of today's earnings report was already built into it. They increased their 2023 sales and operating profit outlook as the Danish drug maker continues to benefit from the soaring demand for its GLP-1 class of weight loss and obesity drugs. Now, you're sitting at the dinner table, you know, and pass the salt, you know, can you pass the bread? How about pass the Wegovy, please? That's the big drug, okay. Give me a couple of those to sprinkle on my lasagna. The growth is driven by increasing demand for our GLP-1-based diabetes and obesity treatments. We are serving more patients than ever, said their CEO, after the company's first half 2023 sales grew 29%. That is really, really good for a large $416 billion big pharma company. Their earnings were up 24%. I mean, Merck would give anything. Johnson & Johnson would give anything for growth like that. And, you know, I guess they've missed out. I'm sure there will be a lot of Johnny-come-latelys to this weight loss deal. But right now, Novo Nordisk and Lilly are sitting in the catbird seat. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you got the 10-year back under 4, which we said would happen. I mean, it was at 4.19, and we did. Didn't we do a bond buy about that point in time, somewhere in there, when
yep.
it got up there?
We took advantage. It was what I think was a Jefferies Financial bond.
Yeah, and got a good almost, you know, in the high fives. That's kind of our target right now.
Yeah, and the weird thing was that investment-grade bonds, you know, in that space didn't move a ton. Simply, you know, it was a lot driven strictly on that in that treasury space. So
yeah, the treasuries.
Yep.
Okay, and now also, I mean, going back under 4, that helps the multiple on the S&P 500, obviously. Gives that some relief from multiple expansion worries and or multiple contraction worries. Now we've got just the opposite of that. So anyways, I mean, that's good news. Now it's the earnings side of the market. We're pretty much done with the earnings, and it looks like we're going to come in about 5% lower than the same quarter last year, but that was expected. In fact, this quarter is going to come in a little bit better than what we originally expected. And now it's all about guidance going into next year. You know, a lot of these companies are preparing budgets, a forecast. They've already got them for 2024. The market's looking ahead 12 months. It's looking ahead to next August. What will the conditions be like next August? Other than contentious, right, before the another presidential right. elections, which seem to be one of the most contentious things America can do these days. Tapestry confirms an $8.5 billion deal to acquire Capri Holdings. Okay, do you have any of these brands in your closet? Coach, Kate Spade, the late Kate Spade, Stuart Weitzman, Versace, Jimmy Choo,
Michael Kors.
Okay, I haven't seen any of those labels in my closet recently, nor have I seen them. I haven't seen my wife wearing any of those either. Maybe I don't know. But as far as I know, anyways, the market does not like this deal. We do have in downtown Charleston at the Charleston Place Hotel. We do have a Coach. And I think a Louis Vuitton. They used to own that hotel down there, LVMUY.
Yeah, and a Chanel.
And a Chanel. And yeah. Now it's owned by a local, I think he's a billionaire. Anyways, those are your high-end. The market doesn't like this deal because Tapestry is down 12.3%.
Yeah, I think they like it for Capri.
Yes, okay. Blink Charging discloses that it's received an SEC subpoena. That's never good. Okay, they're looking for documents from them about executive departures, number of EV charging stations, are they padding the number, and other discrete disclosure matters. So anyways, you never want that to happen. They're down 4.5%. They are one of the players. They mostly do... like at an apartment building, you'll see a Blink Charger, right? And I mean, they're not doing the big installs. ChargePoint still does quite a few of those, but now you've got everybody going to Tesla technology, which has changed the whole landscape. Celsius was a the stock of the day yesterday.
I was watching an interview with the CEO there, and I was thinking about that name.
Bang. So, look at that. Wow. We own that in our emerging growth portfolio.
And Taste is looking good, too, talking about that.
Taste is having a huge day, too. That's Whopper Jr. Now, I followed a little company called Hansen's Natural Soda many years ago when I lived in Southern California. Dad was the kind of organic kind of guy, organic juices. The boys took that company and juiced it up, made it Monster Beverage. And now every Monster truck or every you know, band,
I saw something where in some time period, you have to look, and it goes a ways back, but Monster Energy, I think, is the best performing stock. I think it's on the S&P 500 over, I don't know, it's like over the last 15 years or whatever. But it was an interesting stat.
I'm not sure if it was in my book. It might have been in 2013, but I talked about it constantly, and I owned that little stock for a long time. Now I think it's in the S&P 500.
No, it is, I think somehow once it made it to the S&P 500 or some, you know, statistics, you can always make them however you'd like them, but, you know, somehow the way it's broken down as if, you know, Monster, I think it's over the last, I want to say it was like 10 years, 15 years, it was some time period where I was, and it was the, I think it was the Celsius guy who mentioned it, and I
you
was like, wow.
You never have too much energy. Now enter, well, Rockstar sold for $1 billion, I think, to Pepsi or something.
And that was a long time ago, too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean.
Now, Celsius is the new kid on the block with Vita Coco Water and all their different brands, weight loss and everything else. But look at the sales. Earnings up 112%. No, 333%. Sales up 112%. This is what emerging growth dreams are made of. And we own it in, appropriately, our emerging growth portfolio. And it's hit a new high. It's at $13.5 billion. It's headquartered in Boca Raton, Florida. And Celsius is a massive winner. It's up again today, 2.3%. It was the stock of the day yesterday in the market, which brings me to my next story, Taste. Now, look at that. It's up 18.3%. That's also in our emerging growth portfolio. Taste is, the reason I call it Whopper Jr. is we took note when the CEO, Doyle, Patrick Doyle, who led Domino's to a massive turnaround, showed up at Restaurant Brands, which Burger King is one of their four restaurants. And so we figure, okay, we're going to invest in this guy and give him some time to do. Hopefully he works the same kind of magic or even comes close. Then I said to myself, well, what about a little $5 company that owns 1,000 of, I think they own more than just Burger King. I think they own some Popeyes and some Firehouse.
Yeah, they're the biggest Burger King franchisee. Parts of those agreements come with building out some of those, or the ability to build out some of those other brands too. So they operate, you know, across that that whole platform.
So I'm stunned really by the results here. Somebody's working their magic because sales were up 11%. Now this has been a 5% growth company. All of a sudden it's 11%, and earnings up 103%. Taste, T-A-S-T, and I know it was our featured stock of the week not that long ago, a stock you probably never heard of. You go, I've never eaten at a Carol's restaurant. Well, that's just the name of the franchisee. It's headquartered in Syracuse, New York. Why do we mention it? Because they had knock it out of the park earnings and sales. Listen to this. Their earnings beat by 25 cents. Their revenue beat by $10 million, and the stock is up 18.7%. Where did you hear about Whopper Jr.
Senior? Yeah, it's all about top-line revenue. As you get that in that business, as you bring in, you know, as the top-line builds, more and more of it falls to the bottom line. So, you know, there's that tipping point, and it sounds like, you know, from a revenue standpoint, they must have went over it because they overcame those fixed costs, and all of it was pretty much going to the bottom line, it looks like.
Yeah, and they're probably, you know, I think nowadays you got to have a strong digital presence, a very strong digital presence. Order from home, pick it up, or have DoorDash deliver it. Now, I will say one thing about Patrick Doyle. He works his magic kind of underneath the surface. He's not an Elon Musk who's in the headlines every day. It's just results. You just start seeing results. And we saw him at the QSR earlier this week, and we're seeing him at Taste here today. Okay, then there's another one here that I've had my eye on, but App Lovin', which I love my app. There's no question about it. I used to have a shirt that said, "Kiss my app." I haven't worn it recently. App Lovin' develops mobile app ecosystem by helping app developers to market, monetize, analyze. Of course, if you're developing one in China, you got to get the approval by Xi. Before your app goes into the Apple store or the Android store. But App Lovin', APP, we don't own it. I've kept my eye on it. It's been on my watch list for about three or four months. It's up 21% today. That's management. It's management that produces results like that. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. And you know, we will be every week. Now, I forgot last week to put in a featured stock of the week, but this week there will definitely be one. I've already identified the one. But, you know, you got to look pretty hard to find Carol's Restaurant. Okay, you got to look pretty hard to find Oscar Health and others.
Well, even when you walk in the restaurant at a Burger King, you got to look at the little, they have a little tiny sticker on the door, and you can figure out if it's a Carol's Restaurant or not. Yeah, it's even hard to figure out when you walk into the restaurant.
So. You know, and I have to say one thing that helps me a lot is reading all the stories every morning before the market starts, because that's where you find little things like Patrick Doyle joining a company before most of the people know about it out there, the retail investor. You have to turn over a lot of rocks, okay? We had a guy that worked for us back in San Diego many years ago. He was on the weekends, his big deal was to go to the rivers of California looking for gold. And he had this pump that would suck the bottom of the rivers, and then he had, siphon through the rocks to pick out the gold. And he says, you got to go through a lot of rock to find some gold nuggets. There's a lot of rock in the stock market. I can attest to that. My database of 6,000 is full of rocks and gravel and debris. There's these ones that just stand out year after year. The price lines of the world, the auto zones of the world. It's management. It comes down to management. It's just like certain franchises in baseball are winners year after year because of management. Other teams, I just look in our division. The Dodgers have a very good organization. They've been around for a long time. They have a great farm system. As much as I hate them, how many pennants have they won? How many division titles have they won in a row? And the Padres just, you know, they don't have a farm. I can't name the last player that came through the Padres system and became a starter
Yeah, probably Burroughs, which is what, early?
Yeah, or Tony 2000. Gwynn.
Yeah,
know?
I was going to say, right. Yeah.
They have to trade for all their guys. They have a horrible farm system. They just have, now, their new owner comes from the Dodger system. He was Walter O'Malley's grandson, so he kind of knows the Dodger system. But so far, that's all he's done is gone out and spent a bunch of money on free agents, like the Mets did. So I'm just saying management and a system is really critical. Okay, all right, so the winners in the Dow today, Disney's the biggest winner. It's up 2.6. God bless Disney. Management, not good. It's just, you know, they've made so many missteps, but it's up 2.6. Visa's up 1.8. Good management at Visa. Cisco, nothing against Cisco, but they're a single-digit grower. It's up 1.6 today. Over at the S&P 500, you know what I'm seeing today? Where's Google? Where's Microsoft? Where's Meta? The FANG stocks have really, and where's Amazon today? Where's Apple today? They're not participating in these rallies in the market recently. Okay, you look at the S&P 500, you would expect Tesla's probably the one of note that's up the most. It's up 2.9%. ServiceNow is up 2.1%. Monster Beverage is up 2.2%, probably carried on the coattails of Celsius. Estee Lauder is a leader in the S&P. It's up 4.1%. Illumina, those are your leaders in the S&P 500. And I would just say conspicuous by their absence are the FANG stocks, the former FANG stocks. The losers today, Tapestry, down 13%. And of course, Capri's a big winner because Tapestry obviously seems to be paying too much for it. Penn is down 5% after a big move yesterday on the news that they're teaming up with ESPN, owned by Disney, to get in the sports betting business. ESPN and sports betting. What can go wrong there, B-Bros?
Right. I mean, they sound like they go hand in hand, but you don't want them too close.
The Chicago Black Sox,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
some of the great scandals of all time. Horse racing is
point shaving. What was the point shaving? What was the point shaving scandal?
Yeah. Okay, QQQ, the NASDAQ, the leaders, Illumina, Mercado Libre, Tesla, Starbucks. Okay, once again, I mean, the big tech stocks, for whatever reason, just aren't carrying the weight that they did in the first. I don't know. Maybe the NASDAQ rebalancing had something to do. I don't know. The PEs got too high, but they're conspicuously absent. And I would also say that the energy stocks, because oil prices are down a little bit today, are conspicuously absent from today's market move here. But anyways, we got a good market. We got a CPI report we wanted.
You can get a PPI report tomorrow.
Yep, and there's little chance, I think, of a rate hike at the next Fed meeting. You never know what they're going to do. But
we got a couple more. Yeah, got a couple more inflation report and data before that date. But yeah, it looks like 12% chance at this point. So we'll take that versus what we've had as of late. Right?
It was 75-80. We'll be writing the newsletter tomorrow. I'll be writing the newsletter tomorrow. I've done that every Friday of my life for the last 24 years or whatever it's been. Yeah, 24 years. And I do have my featured stock of the week identified. We've put out some big winners on those featured stocks of the week. Not all of them turn out, obviously. But a lot of the emerging growth ones, they take time. I mean, you have to give them some wiggle room. Because they're going to have some bad quarters. But, you know, when they've got a product that is a disruptor, that's kind of what we're looking for in that emerging growth space, or a turnaround, some kind of story that hopefully will bring emerging growth type earnings. You can get 2 free weeks of the newsletter with all of the disclaimers and everything at GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to talk to us about an asset allocation that might be appropriate for you, and if you want a little bit more active management than you're getting where you're at, I mean, if you're sitting there in a lot of the big duds of yesteryear, what can I say? At the end of the day, you're in charge of your own portfolio. Ultimately, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.